now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, I was sad to hear of the news this morning that the great Jack Costanzo has passed away. A man who introduced me to the bongos and resulted in me purchasing my first set of bongos and then playing with a band for a little while. A man who was just a really lovely, lovely guy. I was pleased to get the chance to interview him several years ago, and we were able to put this into the Cooper Cooper's Cocktail Nation Interviews book number one, which is just great to be able to have my interview solidified, I suppose, in print. Anyway, a special segment this week I'm bringing you right now, a one-off Cocktail Nation midweek because of this. This is a tribute to Mr. Jack Costanzo and the interview that I did with him as he began talking about his very start in the business.
I was originally a dancer. My late wife, many, 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 many years ago, and I were a dance team.
Yeah.
And in our dance act, we used bongos. I played the bongos when she did a solo, and I would accent her footwork with the bongos. That's how I learned to play, because there was no bongo players in Chicago when I was trying to play. We became, in those days, it was called a Roomba dance team, and they were very popular in New York. But in Chicago, forget it. It was an unknown. Xavier Cugat was starting to enlighten the people about Latin music, but it was very, what's the word, obscure.
So what made you pick up the bongos?
I was dancing at a ballroom. I was a young teenager. And this ballroom had an annex ballroom where they called it the free ballroom. You could dance any kind of dancing you want there. The owner of the ballroom brought a band from Puerto Rico called Mario Dumont. And it was a Latin band, and it was the first one that I ever saw. And the drummer came up on one number and doubled out and played bongos, and I was hung up on them. And then I went out and bought some butter tubs and cut the size down to... and made myself a pair of bongos.
Wow. Did they sound any good?
You know, I used a bass drum head skin on them. I didn't know how good or bad they were supposed to sound. Eventually, I bought some records at... They call them White Elephants in Chicago. Here, they call them thrift shops.
Yep.
And they had some records there by an orchestra called Casino de la Playa, which is very famous in Cuba, I later found out. And they had a bongo player named Ramon Cito. And I could hear a few things, but I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
I couldn't see how he was doing his hands and things.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, the guy that was at the ballroom, you know, he didn't play well. So I didn't really get any help from him.
Obviously, you were playing along with these records trying to kind of practice. So how did you develop the skills? Because... correct in saying, you know, you need to be able to see the hands to see the different movements on the bongo. How did you go about learning that?
I had to guess. I had
really?
To guess listening. I could hear the high tone of the bongo, and I could hear the long tone on the records and the low tone. And I had to guess how to do it. My technique was different than the Latins. We played the what is called the basic beats called the martillo. We played that. I played that. I learned how to do that. I did see a movie where Cugat, his bongo player, had the bongos between his legs, and I could see what he was doing a little bit. That gave me an idea of what I had to do, and I practiced relentlessly.
Do you think that bongos is an easy instrument to play? Is an easy instrument to learn, but just a tough one to master?
It depends on how far you want to go. It's an easy instrument to learn if all you want to do is play the basic beat, you know, dicky, 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 docky, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want to really play it, then you got to, you know, you have to work at it. When I went to New York, I was at the Lackawanna Cuban Boys, and we went to the Copacabana in New York, which was a very famous nightclub. And I lived in an apartment there, and I used to go on the roof and practice the bongos.
Yeah.
And I know the neighborhood was saying, I wonder where all those pistol shots are coming from.
Now, you went on to join the Stan Kenton band, too. That was a big break for you, wasn't it?
I joined Kenton after Casino de la Playa. Mm-hmm. I mean, after the La Cuenta Cuban Boys.
Yeah,
I joined Stan Kenton in 47. He was looking for a bongo player, and he auditioned someone in New York, and I guess they weren't exactly what he wanted, and he was in Los Angeles, and I was at a nightclub playing with a band, the Rene Toussaint Band. We were in a show, and I was not only playing in the band, but my wife and I were dancing in the show. And anyway, Kenton came in, and he heard the show, and he talked to me on the break, and he says, "I want to hire you to be my bongo player." And that's how we introduced bongos into jazz.
Wow.
And nobody knew anything about bongos. Anyway, he said to me, "Jack, in 6 weeks you will be known." Kenton in those days, Coop, was the most famous band in the world.
Yeah.
And so when someone was in that band, people knew everything about them. They knew how many times they went to the bathroom during the day. Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Rene Toussaint let me off the hook. He didn't have to give a two-week notice. And I joined the band. We immediately rehearsed, and then we went on a concert tour, which was incredible.
You've joined the Kenton Band. You're going traveling around. Like, did people just go, "Now, this guy is Mr. Bongo"? Is that how that whole name came about? Because you became the guy.
Have you heard the name Leonard Feather?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I have.
Well,
yeah.
Then you knew he was a famous jazz critic. And,
yeah.
And he had covered our concert in Philadelphia, and we were all coming back to New York. We were at the train station platform.
Yeah.
And he was on the other end, and I hear this call, "Hey, Mr. Bongo." And he called me over, and that's how I got the name Mr. Bongo.
In the 50s, bongos became a big thing. So I gather your profile was lifted even more because the popularity of bongos was huge,
the bongos
wasn't it?
Became so popular that hundreds of thousands were of the cheap bongos that you could buy and just heat them up on your stove or something to tune them, because they didn't have the tunable, the metalware then in those days.
Right.
And you'd go down the street, and in the back of the cars in the windows, you'd see the bongos are set there. They're going to the beach to play. Or tons and thousands all over the country and the world became involved with that.
What? Why is that? What happened?
They loved the bongos. They had not seen them before.
Yeah.
And when we got them going, and it became a fad. All the movie stars, it was in, the end thing was to have a drum party.
Well, I guess you probably like to think, I suppose, thinking back, that obviously you had a fair bit to do with that.
Yeah, we were instrumental in bringing them to have the people of our country aware of them. Now, I don't know how it was in Europe in those days, but I imagine it was kind of bleak there also, as far as Latin instruments were concerned.
Now, you, of course, eventually released some albums under your own name as Jack Costanzo, Mr. Bongo.
Oh, you mean where I was the artist?
Yeah. How did that come about? Because obviously that was a big move to go, you know, I'm going to do all this on my own now.
Oh, I was in Vegas. There was a hotel in Vegas called the Tropicana. Mm. And the opening of I was in the opening show of that hotel in Vegas. And we were there for 6 months. And, of course, by then, Coop, I was probably, without doubt, the most popular or most well-known percussionist in the world. But by then, the notoriety I had, I was able to, you know, they hired me to be in the show at the Tropicana. And that was nice.
Yeah.
When that was over, we came back to L.A., and I went to the Liberty Records office, and I talked to a guy named Jack Ames, and I says, "I'm ready to record my band now."
Mm-hmm.
And he signed me right up. I had a contract with Liberty Records. And we started. I had recorded a couple of records before that. The first one was with Gene Norman, Crescendo Records. You might know that record.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was called Mr. Bongo Afro-Cuban and his Afro-Cuban Band. That was my first Latin album I've ever recorded.
Wow.
And then I recorded another one for Zephyr Records. Zephyr Records was a project started by Jordy Hormel. You've heard of Hormel Meats, I'm sure, don't
mm-hmm.
canned food and everything.
Sure.
And he decided to start a record, and so he recorded me for our second album. And then we did a third album called Mr. Bongo Cha Cha Cha. And it was after that album that I then went to the Tropicana in Vegas, came back, signed with Liberty, and we did several albums with Liberty.
Was Latin Fever on Liberty?
Yeah, Latin Fever. You know, I'm so glad you said that. That ended up, I recorded that in 58, that's 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I finally made a record that gave me a lot of royalties. When they re-released that album, it did, on radio plays at least, it did extremely well.
Made a few bucks out of it. That was good.
Well, it ended up being the best seller I've ever had.
We'll play Latin Fever in just a moment, but just one last thing before we go. What have you been doing in the last 20, 30 years? You're still playing, aren't you? You're still getting around and playing?
I do now. I'm very selective now. Yeah. I've become what's the word? A lazy musician. That's not. I love to play. And in fact, we just did. I did. Ken Poston, who's one of the members of the Latin Jazz Institute in Los Angeles. He has concerts with generally the Kenton alumni. He's done them for years, and I've done most of them. Anyway, just this last for a couple of weeks, he did a five days Latin festival. Mm. He did the Latin classics that Kenton recorded. He did some of the Latin classics that Cal Jeter recorded. He did Howard Rumsey, and I was on the concert for 2 days. Then they had Armando Peraza and Candido and Francisco Acapella. They played on some of the other days, and then we had some panels going where we all sat, and you know, people ask us questions and we answered them. And it was very interesting and a lot of fun. And we played up a storm, I think.
Are you gonna write your memoirs at any point? Have you done that?
Or? Oh, I tried it one time, and I just don't have the patience. I don't know. So many people say, Jack, why don't you write? Because I did have a nice career, you know.
Yeah.
But I just, if somebody came to me, Jack, sit down and tell me everything, and they're going to record it, fine. But for me to put it down, it sounds like so much trouble.
The late greats. Jack Costanzo, Mr. Bongo, with Latin Fever.